It is finished. There'll be no more wars. You say, but there is still a war going on. The war is won. It's mine for the claiming. Hallelujah. We are talking on coming out of bondage into prosperity. And we shared a little bit of that last week. That even though you and I have been in the bondage of darkness for many years before we discovered that there's a Savior, when He brought us out of darkness into His marvelous light, we come into something so awesomely glorious that you cannot purchase with money, silver or gold. Because you're better than that. Not in the sense that we're pretty good, but you are of value because of the one that puts value on you. Your worth is not what you put on yourself. Your worth is the price that somebody is willing to pay for you. And He paid not with silver and gold, even though the earth is the Lord's and the goodness, the fullness thereof. The silver and the gold belongs to God, but you're not purchased with that. I'm not purchased with that. You're purchased with something far more than silver and gold. You're purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord Advocate General of the Church, the Sovereign of the universe, died for us because obviously we are worth something to God. That the world is not enough to pay for you. You can gain the whole world and still lose your soul. You have got something that is worth more than the world. Your soul. Long after the sun has gone dead cold and the moon has lost its shine, you'll still be alive. You're worth more than the planet you live in. You're worth more than the universe that you live in. And God gave His life for you and I. And if you understand that, the enormity of that, as we heard the prophetic word this morning, you don't say you got nothing. You don't say I'm... When you understand the enormity of God, it is finished. The battle is over. There'll be no more wars. Are you all right? Christ is not going to die again. Christ is not going to try and defeat the devil again. The devil is defeated. Hallelujah. And when we were bound, even though Christ had died 2,000 years ago, we were bound even though the victory was won. And one of the greatest prisons in the planet is what we create for ourselves. It's a prison of our own making. And we can be angry at somebody and we are bound by the anger. We can form an opinion of somebody when we really don't know who they are and we are bound by the opinion. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So many times we are bound by our thought patterns. Hallelujah. When God has no limitations, and the Bible says they limited the Holy One. Who limited God? They did. We do. They limited the Holy One of Israel. They could not believe that God could lay a table in the wilderness. And yet God laid that table. Some of them did not want to get out of Egypt because they didn't think that God was able to lay a table in the wilderness. How big's your God? And every morning, they ate fresh manna. Getting refreshed. And I think we got some good manna every Sunday. What do you think? We don't want to take that for granted. And you don't really appreciate what you have until somebody points out to you what you have. I shared at this church yesterday, and I said to them, this is an apostolic church. And many of you don't know it. So I began to go through what they did. And the daughter of the founding pastor in the church, she did not like the church, so she left to go to another church. And she said to me as I was walking out, we were driving back home, she said, I did not know. I did not know. And I had to tap my brother next to me to tell him, this is what our dad did. Why? Because sometimes we're in the... You can't see the forest for the trees. Ask a fish, are you wet? And sometimes we are in the sea, but we don't know the privilege of what it is to be in the environment of the sea. We don't even know we are wet until somebody throws us out of the sea. And then she said to me, I'm coming back to church tomorrow. And when you are in an environment where there's greatness and sometimes you don't see it, you take it for granted and then you leave it. And when you leave it, you realize, hello? Why did Jesus say, I'll spit you out of my mouth? He said, I'd rather you're cold or hot, but don't get familiar. Because if you do, I'll spit you out of my mouth. Now, that's a very unkind thing to say. I'd rather you're hot. If you're going to be hot, be hot. If you're going to be a saint, be a saint. Be a saint. If you're going to be a sinner, be a sinner. Jesus would rather you go hot or cold. You'd rather be a sinner or a saint. At least if you're a sinner, you're an honest sinner, and you'll soon find grace. Or if you're hot, you're going on for God. But if you're warm, you know God's there, but he couldn't care less. And sometimes we don't know what we have until somebody says, whoa! Hallelujah. And sometimes we are prosperous, but we are in a prison of our own making. We can't even see the oil on the shelf. Are you all right? I often say that in New Zealand, there has never been a crisis. And I've been here in New Zealand since 1972. I was here in New Zealand before any of the young people was born. I've been in New Zealand longer than some of you. There has never been a crisis in New Zealand. But you have all these journalists writing about crisis this, crisis that, political crisis, financial crisis, education. There's nothing. Until you live in Thailand and have nothing to eat tomorrow, or you live in Ulaanute in Shakalanta, where I gave a widow four single American dollars and 70 rubles. And somebody said, that's probably the biggest amount of money she's ever held in her hand in all her life. Four single dollars, 34 rubles to $1, and 70 rubles that fear gave me, and I pressed it into her hand. It's just like somebody turned a faucet over in her head, and she just... And we live here, and we've got a crisis. We haven't got a crisis. Like we said, you get to heaven, and the church in the West, Jesus is going to ask some of you, we were persecuted, and the church in China will turn around and say, what? You were what? We forget that we have come out of prison into the prosperity, into the marvelous light of God. That one day we were bound, the next day we were saved, and you come out of darkness into light. Whoa, this is fine. Appreciate that and know that. Because victory is there, but it's for the claiming. You were saved before you got saved. Hallelujah. You didn't get saved the day that you got saved. You got saved 2,000 years ago when the man hung on the tree. That's when you got saved. You just claimed it the day you got saved. That's when you claimed it. But it was always yours. Are you all right? Say amen.
Amen.
Now, I've got 4 minutes. That's good. I'm going to have a cup of tea shortly. Sometimes our prison is not made by others or made by us. Sometimes God put us in prison. And that's the theology we don't like. Oh, God's a good God. Well, talk to Joseph. If I look at Psalm 105, I'll be through in about 3 minutes, all right? Have a look at it. Psalm 105, talking about God bringing them out of Egypt. And I'll start with verse 37, and then we'll come back to the beginning of the psalm. He also brought them out with silver and gold. They were prisoners. He brought them out of prison with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among their tribes. Not one feeble. I mean, they've been slaves for 400 years, and when they came out with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble among them. Hallelujah. Now, maybe one day I can elaborate on that. But we'll just read on. Egypt was glad when they departed. You know what? Egypt paid the Israelites to leave. And when they left, Egypt was broke. Here are a bunch of slaves. When they left, the Bible says they plundered the Egyptians. Why? Because of that. They plundered the Egyptians. When you come out of darkness into God's marvelous light, guess what? Nothing in the world could hold you from getting to heaven. Nothing. The only thing that will stop you is you. They plundered the Egyptians. They were glad when they left, for the fear of them had fallen upon them. He spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light in the night. The people asked, and he brought quail and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock and water gushed out. It ran in the dry places like the desert became a river. The heavens opened up. They came out of prison into prosperity. Hang on to your hat. Don't give in. Don't take your life. Give it to God. And hang on. For he remembered his holy promise, and Abraham his servant, he brought out his people with joy. He remembered. God does not forget. There's only one thing God forgets. It's your sin. But God will never forget whatever you've done. The cup of water that is given to somebody, the Bible says your reward will not go to somebody else. God does not forget. God is not unjust to forget your love and the labor which you have shown towards his name. God will always remember. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Let's get back to verse 16, same psalm, all right? Moreover, he called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread. This is the time of famine. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. What happened? It's the word of the Lord. Hello? The word of the Lord tested him until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his possession to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his elders wisdom. That's amazing. Where did Joseph learn wisdom? In prison. Sometimes God will allow you to be in prison just so you would learn wisdom. No, you don't like that, do you? No. You know why? Because you only look that far. You know what? We are talking about Joseph. How far back was Joseph? And you're looking that far, and you're angry at God. Don't put me in prison. God is looking at your great, 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 great grandchildren. That's what he's looking at. And what you learn here, what Joseph learned in prison, we are speaking about this morning. Think! Why are we talking about this man who's been dead for a long time? Because you learn wisdom in a prison. You know what the Bible says? Jesus wanted to do miracles at the age of 12. You know what? The Bible says God restricted him from doing that for 18 years. Between 12 and 30, there's nothing else about Jesus. Why? He wanted to perform at 12. But 30 years old, the Bible says God hid him in the carpenter's shop. And God will hide you. And when God hides and restricts you, don't try and bust out. Why? There are things you will never learn any other way. Hallelujah. Let me read something to you, then I'll close because my time is finished and you need a cup of tea. I'll read it for you because this is what every one of us pursues. This is what we do. This is what will bust anybody to get. So I'll read it for you just so you can understand that sometimes you need to hold on. Why? Because it's not finished until that lady sings. All right? Now let me read this to you because this is what we do. Verse 4, Ecclesiastes 2. I made my works great. I built myself houses and planted myself vineyards. You could be talking about a kiwi. I made myself gardens and orchards, and I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made myself water pools for which to water the growing trees of the grove. I acquired male and female servants. This is a great, this is good. And had servants born in my house. Yes, I had greater possession of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. What it's saying is I've got bonds, I've got insurance, I've got stuff. And this is what you and I pursue. This is what we spend all our life trying to get. Hallelujah. Let's read on. All right? Now, let me say something about the book of Ecclesiastes. There's not a lot of spiritual things in Ecclesiastes. It doesn't talk about heaven. It doesn't talk about hell. Just talk about life under the sun. All right? Just under the sun. So forget about God. If you don't know God, forget it. This is what everybody pursues. All right? Verse 8. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the special treasures of kings and of the provinces. I acquired male and female singers, delights of the sons of men, and musical instruments of all kinds. You can go to an opera any day. You've got your own opera. You've got all the best singers in the nation. You can afford them. You can have a private audience with whoever you want to sing to you. That's what this guy is talking about. Hallelujah. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward from all my labor. This is it. And this is what Christians and non-Christians pursue. All right. So then I looked on all the works that my hands had done and on the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed all was meaningless. What he's saying is, will you pursue this? The end is nothing. I didn't write the Bible. You got farms, you got high-rise buildings, you got stocks, you got bonds, you got everything. The end of it is nothing. 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 We pursue nothing. It's vanity. It blows with the wind. It's got no meaning. Nothing. What is the answer? Seek ye first the and his righteousness and all these. God bless.